All right, folks, welcome to the Musty 360 podcast. Jay Bird.
Hola, Steve.
Hola, freaking. I'm broadcast. If it doesn't sound normal, I'm live in my AirPods here from Barcelona, Spain. Jay, I'm jet lagged, buddy. Let me tell you that much.
I believe that. You've only been there for a little bit, a couple days. That's a massive 7-hour difference.
Yeah, kind of got in yesterday. So yeah, you say a couple of days and you're right. It feels like an hour ago, but the jet lag is real. And yeah, plus 7 is going to get you pretty good. So anyway, I was telling Jay before we started, how is it? It's like every other European city, except for these people speak Spanish. That is literally the same. Oh, wow, Jay. Guess what else we've done? Prepare What's yourself. That? Instead of serving meals, we're just going to serve you tiny food and call it tapas.
There's that. So you just constantly eat tiny food on the run is what you do.
That's
just keep on moving and eat.
Well, everywhere you look is tapas restaurant, tapas bar, tapas, tapas, tapas. And it's just like everybody. Now, The one thing that's noticeable, Jay, other than it being, Barcelona, which is on the coast of the Mediterranean. Oh, sounds horrible. The BMI here is rather low. Let me put it that way. This is just the only other thing that is distinct here. The body mass index of the individuals walking around, Jay. Non-existent. Let's put it that way. It ain't the North Woods. Huge announcement, Jay. Are you ready?
Yeah, I'm not sitting down. Go ahead.
We're putting in the first Wisconsin themed tapas bar, and we're gonna fatten these people up with curds. What do you say?
Deep fried cheese curds.
Right. Yeah. You just walk by. Oh, we'll have the cheese. And they'll, like, these people blimp up instantly. Just introduce deep fried cheese is what these folks need. I'm telling you. Anyway. Yeah. Over here, if you don't know, they do the European fishing show. So there's a thing called F-Tex is why I'm over here. So hopefully I'll have some big news, Jay, this week. Hopefully there's going to be some interesting new releases and things here.
Can't imagine there wouldn't be. Yeah, that's a huge show.
It's awesome. I'll take some pictures and I've done this every year. I'll do a bunch of video, not a bunch, but I'll video things and take a bunch of pictures, and they just kind of live on my phone. I should do something with them at some point, but hey, if you see me ask, you can flip through my phone. Hey, in lieu of the video, just flip through my phone. But maybe try to get something together for a short for you or something like that, where it's kind of cool to see the different tackle from around the globe. But there's going to be a bunch of Japanese people this year. What it's looking like, we have some Japanese people. So, and I know there's one company in particular from Italy that I want to look at, because there are big pike in Italy. Did you know that? Were you aware of that?
Okay.
Big Italian pike. Mamma Mia, maybe? Is it a pun? Is that a pun too far?
Yep. No, it's not. No.
Okay. I didn't know. It's kind of.
What are the top species for this show in Europe in general, I guess? What are the top three fish species?
Can be condensed down to two. Flat.
Pike and carp?
But in distinct orders, carp and pike.
Carp is huge.
Right. If you're new to the podcast and you haven't heard me talk about these in the past, carp fishing in Europe is the fish. If you think largemouth bass is pervasive in the United States, take that. That's carp fishing. There's nothing cornier. Jake, you know what's cornier than the Iowa State Fair, in my opinion?
No, and, what is it?
When they grow a lot of corn in Iowa, you got to try to be cornier. dudes walking around in professional carp fishing jerseys. No offense. I doubt any of them are listening as well. I'll say it.
Pro carpers. Okay. Pro I don't know carp. What that might look like. I'm trying to put two and two together.
You put a jersey together. You got your dough ball sponsor on there.
But dough ball, right?
You got your dough, right? We got our baiter feeder is what they call it. So you'll have like your dough ball sponsor and then your rods and reels. I've met some of the people that make that tackle. They're pretty cool, but you know, the same things. It's now you don't have any boats. So a lot of the big sponsors are like tents.
Yeah, they bank fish for these things all
out
over the place.
Tents,
right.
Yeah, it'll be like carp tent. And the funny thing is, and it cracks me up because everything's like, you know, we're really good at slogans, logos in the United States, you know, naming things. And they're like carp rod best man, you know, there's like carp expert and carp master and master carp. And you're like, all right, cool, guys. I'm going to open an ad agency here is what I should do. It's kind of funny.
Well, I'm seeing a distinct lack of corn over there, it sounds like. I mean, when I was a kid, if I wanted one sponsor when I was carping, when I was a little kid, it would be Del Monte.
Del Monte. Eddie Del Monte. Yeah. No, it's funny. I mean, no. I mean, let's not. I'm trying to be nice. I was just about to be like gracious about it. No, it's stupid. You're carp fishing, you know? Give me a break. But so the carp fishing is the number one thing. And then definitely pike right there behind it. Snookin'.
That's what they call them. Okay.
Netherlands, but no. So pike is pike, except for the Dutch and whatever. But so you've got pike is going to be number two, and then they could just call it sea fishing instead of ocean fishing. Sea fishing. And that's kind of the only other thing you hear about. But I mean, just like ocean fishing in the United States, how many people do you know that catch fish out of the ocean that are actively fishing with artificials as a primary thing? Not many. You know, that's
okay.
If you look at it, I mean, like, you know, the common man is going to go out on a rig and they're going to drop, you know, shrimp or, you know, you're not really artificial fishing in the ocean or the intercoastal too terribly much. There are people that do. Same vibe over here. I mean, there's elite people that are going out for like big fish in their big expensive boats. So I was just down at the harbor here and there's, you know, giant boats. I didn't get to see a super yacht, Jay. That was interesting.
Oh man,
I should have taken
the Mediterranean Sea right there.
That's crazy. There this morning. Folks, others might say I'm crazy. I just left the Mediterranean Sea to come talk to Jay in my Airbnb here. So you know,
well, the natural order of things in your morning checkoff. It's just like, okay, walk down to the Mediterranean, see if there's any yachts, you know, and
leave.
Deep breath. That's salty fresh air. Yep.
Now, it's like Jody said, what do you like so far? It's just like everywhere else. That's the thing. You know, I'm just like, keep me over there. I'm doing good over there. But no, it's cool. So I'll try to get a report onto what's going on. But it's interesting. You know, you look at this. This was how, you know, a lot of these companies, BKK, I think, Jay, you and me were the first people talking about that. In the States, period.
BKK hooks.
Okay. Yeah. Yep. And then, you know, there are a lot of things that have kind of come over this way. So if I see anything, another example, you know, because Muskie Shop, hands down, first people with BKK. Those are Chinese folks that we know from the shows. Jay's head, I can't remember the Italian guy from that. That's why I come into these things with Livingston. Swivelo. Yeah, right. A lot of people have the Swivelo Genesis. So. Hopefully.
What you're saying is you are going to run into something really cool.
Yeah, better, or I'll be disappointed. I mean, I'm trying to bring back. I mean, if you look at it, we brought back some cool stuff over the years. This is like my fourth or fifth year of coming over here. And just so you know, Muskie Shop's not lost their mind. And they're not sending me on the hunt. I'm here representing Livingston and the Muskie / Pike products that we have them over here. But it's kind of cool because inevitably something cool comes across the radar. Like I said, BKK is almost ubiquitous with high-end hooks now, or Swivlo. People, you know, it's kind of cool, get to see this th stuff firsthand and find interesting things.
Absolutely.
The other thing, Jay, it's hilarious because I have in person, folks, if you ever get on Amazon or these crappy like Temu, I've met the people that make that crap. So they set up this stuff too. There'll be, we call it Chinatown. Every one of these shows, Jay, there's a giant row of all the Chinese manufacturers that make the stuff themselves, and it's hilarious. So you'll end up
Really?
like, yeah, you'll see the stuff on like Amazon or on Temu or on this discount stuff that pop up, and here's the company. It's pretty funny. So that cracks me up. But anyway, that's kind of what's going on. What's the comings and the goings at the Muskie Shop right now, Jay? People are locked in, dialed in, rocking and rolling right now. What is the
Oh, got a bunch
any
more Rapala and Storm small stuff in this last
Rapala?
week.
Anything of note? Anything big league other than
Well, I think we
restocks?
sold out of Muskie IQ again, your new
Nice.
book. So I believe those are out,
So be
and we should
back.
be
I
getting some
know.
more in pretty soon, right?
Yeah, hopefully. Well, that's a Jody Michael thing, but I'm sure she's all
Yeah.
over it.
Yep. Other
So
than that, yeah. No, and it's just
pretty
been
just
super busy,
restocked.
and
Gotcha.
yeah. Yep. Fishing's been good and things warmed up. I know we haven't been talking much since you've been traveling so much, but yeah, a very warm week. Water temps are really shooting up there. I talked to Jim this morning because he worked over the weekend, and there's a lot. He's starting to hear a lot of surface bait reports, so that's pretty cool.
It's,
Yep.
you know, you say that right before I left, because it's been, time is a human construct and a blur to me right now, to be honest with you. But you know, last day on the water before I packed up and headed over here for a second, I mean, it's kind of like late start, and we talked about everything was kind of that discombobulated spring, and it feels like already locking into some bite like that, some pretty solid, like you said, blades top water, can't go wrong,
Yep, there's
you
been a lot of
know,
that. There's been a lot of that.
locking
Obviously,
in.
there's going to be some post-spawn muskies, they're a
Right.
little bit dormant and deep and stuff like that, but things have been changing quickly. So, been above normal for, I don't know, 2 weeks or something like that. Yeah.
Nice. Nice.
Yeah.
Well,
Blows away that horrible May we had with where everything was just the same every day and the water temperature wasn't really climbing. And yeah, things have developed nicely into a early summer kind of a deal around here right now. So
good
fishing's
deal.
been pretty good. Yep.
You know, one of the things we'll check in here shortly with the Canada boys, the Glenn McDonalds and the Dannys of the world here, to kind of see what's going on, because you know, they went from icy temperatures to 90s to craziness. So hopefully that will lock in. But anyway, Jay, we're gonna have to jump into some Q&A because my tummy said I need more tapas.
Right. Well, you're snacking all day, Steve. You got to sit down and have a meal. Can you get
It's
a steak in Spain, in Barcelona? Or are they
no,
just cute? Are
I
they just
wait.
like all, I mean, when you walk
Where?
down the street, are they all like dribbling soccer balls and stuff like that?
I
And
got hit by two today.
two soccer balls. They call them
Just
footballs over there.
the football. No, people playing, and it's just like they'll kick one at you, and I just like, huh? Like, you know, let me put it this way, if you really want to know. You know, I'm when you, it, pro tip, if you travel Europe, don't wear jeans. I can pick out every American in the place. Also, too, don't be tall. Right. So that's something, no matter what, we're rocking a pair of chinos. You know, I wear Adidas anyway, so that'll slide
I was
you in
just
every.
gonna say Adidas warm-ups, right?
I'm
I
not
mean
wearing
that's
the Adidas pants, but you know, he's just wearing Adidas sneakers or something of that nature, you know. You don't want to wear the
Just wear a Lionel Messi, t-shirt or
oh
something, with a
yeah,
number 10 on
absolutely.
it. And people
There
be
you
like,
go.
oh, dude, yeah, there you go.
But yeah, don't come out like Johnny American Blue Jeans is what I'm getting at. And this kid kicked a soccer ball at me like I was supposed to know what to do with it. I didn't get hit twice, but he got me in the shin. I kind of
No,
froze like,
yeah, you don't want to wear like a Chicago Bears t-shirt or something in
oh yeah,
Barcelona.
you do.
They'll pummel you.
Oh hell yeah, they will. They'll pummel the wallet right out of your pocket. It's like the pickpocket capital of the world, by the
I
way.
heard that. Yeah,
And it's
watch
like
yourself.
funny. And you, I've
Well, you
seen
got
it
that
come.
big chain. You got that Hexagon chain. There's no way they're taking it from you.
Can't fly with one of those. Can I hold on? This is no joke.
What?
Be prepared for this.
Yeah, here,
back it up. Give me a second here to explain. So, Jay has noticed, others have noticed at times, why do you have a wallet chain, right? Let's go there real quick. So that is from riding bikes and skateboarding and losing your wallet to that transfers into I'm on a boat and a lot, you know, it make, and I'm also, Jay can attest, I'm so ADD, I would lay my wallet down somewhere and walk away from it. So I literally will pull my wallet out, put it on the counter and like walk away and it'll snap back to me. Can't travel with that crap, right? Can't have that. Big plug for 130-pound, 12-inch Musky Shop fluorocarbon leader with the Stay-Lock snap. Take it off. That's how I keep my wallet, Jay.
You're the king of modifications.
It really is. If you want the
130-pound floral.
Now, now, if you ask, it's you can't see it. It's just off my wallet and up to the loop right above my pocket so they can't snatch your wallet, Jay. You can't break. I don't believe that one of these frail Spanish boys, they call them men, but they all look like tiny little child people. But nonetheless, I don't believe one of them could break a 130-pound fluorocarbon leader. Don't think they could do it.
No, you know? Not unless he has really sharp teeth or something. He starts gnawing at it. But that
they'll bite at you, I'd imagine. Uh-huh. Here, they got their Barcelona jersey on, kicking soccer balls and trying to steal your wallet. It's. You know, whatever. That's just a pro tip. That's retarded that I even told that, but it's funny. Like, let's get to it here.
Okay. Yeah, please. Yes.
You brought it up. Anyway,
I did.
First one, Isaac. Hey, guys, love the podcast. Curious if you can give a little review or your take on color choices. Is it really necessary to have 2-3 colors of everything? Should a guy focus on one natural and one bright? Like you guys have said, he shortlines strokes for context. This is one of these classic things. Where, you know, obviously people are always going to have this discussion about color, right? Mm-hmm. Things that I can tell you about color. Muskies don't see the way that we see. Agreed? Agreed, right?
Mm-hmm.
No, unless, what's that one British actress? I think the girl from that chess movie, Jay. You know what I'm talking about? That movie where the girl plays chess, The Queen's Gambit. You know her name.
I don't know her name.
Nonetheless, there's a British actress that I believe her eyes are so far apart she could see like a muskie is where they're getting at.
Yeah, I guess they are, yeah.
But okay. Nonetheless, gotcha. I was you know, I'm not batting 100 today, folks. I promise you that. So I'm trying my best here with the
jokes. Can't get a solid meal for
on snacks. All these people do is eat snacks and drink booze. It's hell.
Wow.
Veritable hell. Pray for me. But anyway, so the way that a muskie sees, we don't even really know how their brain compiles that information. That's the one thing where we're talking about how a fish hears, what they feel, what they see. How that data, that their receptive organs, your eyes are a receiving organ, your skin, everything, how that data is compiled and interpreted, no one really knows, right? Is it, do they see in a flip side? We don't know. Is it reversed? We don't know. But we do know that they counter shade, right? Talk about that in the new book and about how they can perceive colors and hues, but mainly their eyes are most the focus, not focus like the seeing focus, but the derivative thing that we can ascertain from the construction of their eyes is that they use counter shading and primary or seeing silhouettes, profile, size, and shape. Right? So that is why black on dark or cloudy days has been so dynamite. Jay, I gotta even say this though. Sometimes black is money and clear water on bright days. So it's just one of those odd duck things there. So my take has always been this. When it comes to colors, I'm looking for primary. I'm looking for the greatest contrast I can get. Right? contrast, contrast, contrast. So does a guy need a bunch of colors? No. In my opinion, you need two colors. You need a light and a dark. Right? Because everything else is conjecture. Everybody's guessing and saying, Muskie see this, Muskie see that. You know, it was a controversial take freaking 3 years ago when I said it at first. Now I've heard others, and this is what always happens on this show. Jay, if you haven't noticed, you know, it's just like, it's we're the pioneers taking the arrows here, saying the things. But the fact of this is that fancy paint jobs are actually counterintuitive. Right? Natural bait fish use disruptive camouflage to not get eaten. Therefore, it's probably smart to not have a natural paint job that is meant to throw the eyes of predators. Why does a crappie have spots? To break up its silhouette and profile so it's less easy to identify as prey while it is in cover or whether it's in open water. Right?
Yeah, I agree.
Why are there stripes on a perch? To break up its profile and silhouette, right? It disrupts what it is, you know? So think of this. This just popped in my head. Maybe I'm short on tapas, Jay. Maybe this is why. Get your wife out in the backyard, or your boyfriend, or your wife's sister's girlfriend's boyfriend, whatever, or your weird Uncle Jeff, your call. And go out and stand in front of some trees in an all white sweatsuit, right? Like you just came out of the loony bin, and say, hey, can you see me? Of course I can. Now do the same thing in all camouflage.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You don't have to go to that extreme. Jay set this experiment up one time. That's why I bring it up.
But you did that with neighbor Steve in the backyard.
Right. Yeah.
Didn't go well.
Didn't go well. That's how you got shot that first time. But anyway, if you think of it from the simplest of things, what is easier for you to see?
Right.
Now, if creepy Uncle Jeff is 10 feet from you and you're in camo, he can see you. Now he's 100 feet. Now he's 200, right? Distance. It breaks up your profile. You blend in with the environment. Right. My take on this is if you're playing a close proximity game with fish, you might be able to get away with natural. You'll hear guys, this, this, and this is just great, or this is great, or this is that. Well, if you get it close enough, that's kind of a moot point, right? But I've always used color, and you don't, use color as contrast to expand its probability or the possibility of it being seen to get a visual engagement.
Okay.
Right? Why limit that? We have visual presence in the water, vibrational presence, right? And then we have sound presence. I want to maximize all the elements that I can to get noticed and get eaten. Right. And so use color as an aspect of going, okay, what is going to maybe not stand? It doesn't have to be radical. I'm not saying go put on, you know, something that looks like bubblegum pink and it's a radical standout. I'm going, what stands out? So that's the take on color there. I want to be seen. I want to be felt and I want to be heard.
Okay.
I sound like your ex-wife, Connie, Jay. I'm leaving you. I don't feel like I'm seen, felt, or heard.
Gotcha.
Gotcha. Connie, gotcha.
Well, I like the color theory. I know what you're saying. You know, and then people are going to say, well, I got an amazing perch pattern. I mean, with amazing detail and you know, perfection of this beautiful looking perch pattern, and I catch fish on it. It's like, well, yeah, color matters and it doesn't. But yeah, you're talking about standing out a little bit better. You know, fish are going to eat with a proximity thing, and it's not. You know, we've talked about this a million times. You know, it's not all sight. It's not all vision. There's a lot of sound and there's a lot of proximity involved in, you know, getting a strike. So,
and that's the thing. I mean, hell, you talk about the book, but backing up here, because this show's just always a rabbit hole.
Got an email from a guy about the book this week, and it was, you know, just directly to me. It's very nice, and and he said he's reading through it and flipping through it. In the last little section, I kind of put down my edict about what I call the predatory sphere of and it's basically just defining simply of how that environment works. And when we're talking about proximity, rule first and foremost, in the simplest of terms, you have to be close enough for him to perceive whatever you've got on. What is close enough, right? Yep, close enough changes. That's the simplest equation that we have. Close enough changes, right? So close enough might be 2 feet, it might be 20 feet. That is kind of an ebb and flow thing. All I'm trying to do is go, have an advantage. That's why I work with Livingston. I go, can't hurt. I love the EBS and some stuff, right? Mm-hmm. I've said it flat out before. Sometimes I go, okay, it's speed, it's gonna do this, but I go, man, slow stuff. Okay, you got sound. It's a natural sound versus like the sound of a rattle. So we know that sound can affect things. So I want that. I want visual presence, and I want vibrational presence. That's the whole shoot match. And the ebb and flow, the whole podcast is telling you how to get closer when you need to be closer. If you don't need to be close, throw a bucktail and it'll come up. And so it's that ebb and flow thing. So like I said, when I'm considering anything, and it can be one of those other elements, Jed, right? It can definitely be one of those other elements where you go, take this, dig, if you will, this picture, which is, you can have the absolute wrong bait, wrong size, wrong color, wrong everything, and it's completely right because you got close enough to an adequately feeding fish.
Yeah.
And so it's about sample size too. But anyway, I digress. Keep rocking here. I need tapas, Jay. Hunter. Not Hunter Biden, I don't think. We'll see. He's been tweeting, Jay.
We'll see.
He's been tweeting, which is funny. Hunter, ninja tip. I guess we're sharing tips now. Dependent on the tail size you put on Titan, you can change the buoyancy and center of flotation. Yes, sir. So that is true. He goes on here. If you really want to make things interesting, he uses a big Kalins grub. And yeah, he's getting a different action on the sweep. Got his first fish of the season thus far. I crushed it on the pulse. So that's one cool thing about the Titan is you can use the big long tails that you would say, like, see on an Esox assault tails, right? Or the tails that they have the replacement for the Kamikaze. You can actually slow that bait down with a wider grub. So it changes things up. It's fun to play with there on the plastics front. One of my favorite things to play with, Jay, is we still have them, the power paddles that Bayou Lures did. And that actually gives it a thumpy, kicky kind of paddle tail on the back of a Titan. So, you know, there's no wrong thing you can put on the back of that thing. Use it to tweak your action. That's awesome.
Yeah.
It's awesome that
I agree.
He was able to get some action there. Randy Jackson. Do you think this is the same Randy Jackson as the TV show or the Jackson 5? Awesome.
The guy that signed that ninja sword?
Sure.
That Randy Jackson?
A completely different guy I'm thinking about, but let's roll with it.
Yeah.
Hey, okay. Yes, sure. It is. It is that guy. He starts out with big shout out to Jay Essie.
Bingo.
Jay's favorite subject. Here we come. Here it comes, boys. Is it a good shout out or a bad? We'll find out. It says, my son and I came up to Nakwa for 3 days, and while spending money at the muskie shop, we heard SJ, and he helped us out a lot on some lakes for trying to find muskies. Long story short, we caught a 32 on Wildcat and a 36 on Amber. Well, good deal. Trolling for the win. We're super excited. And Justin just celebrated getting his pharmacy degree by catching some muskies. Well, congratulations. He says, thanks again for all the hours of hard work you guys do for the Muskie Shop and the Muskie 360 app. Well, why, thank you. And big shout out to Jay. Jay dialed him in.
That's great to hear. Awesome, Randy.
Straight up there. Keep signing those ninja swords.
Nice.
And hosting, is it America's Got Talent or whatever? Randy, Annie Mae, moving on. Need tappas now. Jack, I just started musky fishing. I have a 300 size reel and an 8'6". That's not what I'm worried about. I'm worried about what I'm throwing the right lures. I like that. He told us at least. Okay, he's not worried about the setup, but he goes, am I throwing the right lures or right colors? He's got orange blades with a black skirt, double bladed. And he's got an orange and black bulldog. Any other recommendations, lures to boost his confidence? So, guys, this is what I'm talking about all the time. Everybody's at a different stage of their journey in musky fishing. We've got guys starting out here. He's got some double blades. He's got a bulldog, right? Other recommendations for lures to boost his confidence. Let's start here and say this. It's not about the right lures. It's about the right situation, right? So a tool is only as good as the person that uses all these other concepts. But if we're trying to build confidence, let's spend some time. Again, if you're listening to the podcast, massive resource. Go back to things that I definitely talked about. There's the Structure Fishing Masterclasses 1 and 2, right? You need to listen to those. Anything that you see on this app that says musky seasonality, articles, videos, podcasts, listen to those, right? That's going to be imperative. Go read the articles, because you got to realize there are guys in this sport that have way more baits than you and have these same results as you. Am I wrong, Jay? No, I'm not. Right? So dude's got 2 lures. I know guys that have 200 lures and have 0 fish, right? You could have 1 lure and have 100. We need to understand where we use these tools, right? Now, could you use some other lures? Yes. What I always recommend, and Jay's pretty good at this, Jay, give him the rundown. Folks, you've heard it before. If you haven't heard it, basics of the lure classes, right? You need your top water, you need your crank, you need your dive and rise, you need all these. But what I just to maximum impact here, you need to understand where, when, and why you're using them. And that's a good refresher for anybody, I think, Jay. Right.
Yeah, we've got podcasts that cover that. I think that was a good idea, pointing out a few key ones where you can identify lure selection, when and why you were doing this move, you know.
Give us the famous line, Jay, the Al Lindner line.
Hey, that looks like a good spot over there. Don't let luck or feeling determine your fishing success.
Right. So let's look at from this. Imagine this scenario. You pull up onto this lake, right? And you're trying to figure out where to go. This is an element here, right? We pull up onto this lake. Where do we start? Big lake, small lake, it does not matter. If you do not have an education in structure, seasonality, and all these other things, you are now making a completely uneducated decision, uneducated choice, and picking arbitrary places to fish. Where I'm going is this. Mm-hmm. If you do not have an understanding of what your lures do, when they're best applied, and how to work them, now you have made 2 crap decisions and put them together and expect magical results. Right? So we're
totally agree.
We're guessing where to fish and we're guessing what to throw when we get there. These are the things that keep me up at night and drive me up the wall. Now, it's not to this guy's question, but I'm trying to hit it just to hit the overarching point here, which is think of it that way. I don't think I've said it that way in a long time or ever even said it, but compounding guesses, right? Well, let's guess at it. And if we guess enough, we're going to compound into success. There's not too many endeavors. Sorry for the speech there. Jay, I'm walking it on the plaza. I think they
You're
call
walking,
it.
What's that?
I'm walking out to the patio.
That's clear.
It's much warmer out here. But you understand what I'm saying. When you take this scenario, let's guess. it not one thing. Let's guess it two things. One could even take it further and say, let's guess it three things. So let's guess where to fish, right? Let's guess what to use, and let's guess how to use them. Right? So the goal is to fix the dishwasher, right? Where's the dishwasher in the house? Right? Well, let's just guess where it's at. Let's just start working on something else. Like, so you have an objective, but we've not really broken down anything on how to get the job accomplished, right? We're going to guess where the dishwasher's broken. We're going to guess what part to fix.
Yeah.
And we're going to get this thing opened up and wing it. Now, sometimes that works, but not very often. You know, that's
chances kinda, are you waste a ton of time.
Right. Now, the cool thing is this, right? And if you do the same thing long enough, you're bound to run into one. And then what happens is guys do that. They strut around like they won the Super Bowl and say they caught a muskie. Cool. There's absolutely nothing wrong with that, but it's not. It's one of those things of like, you got two, there's a fork in the road, Jay.
Someone has to win the lottery.
Somebody's got to win the lottery. There's a fork in the road. You can go to the left. The fork is muskies are the fish of 10,000 casts and utterly mysterious. Or to the other side, this is completely patternable and results can be replicated. That's it. And so obviously you can tell which fork in the road, you know, I believe it to be patternable and replicatable with a degree of success, right? Not every day, but most days it can be done, right? But that's what I look at when I go bait selection, lure selection, power selection, everything. I guess I'm even circling back because the brain's just, I'm again, need tapas, right? But you could consider, Jay, in this whole dynamic of sometimes it's important to limit choices because there's so many other choices, which is my color theory, right?
Okay.
And I didn't think we're going here, but you know, I thought we'd just blow through some Q&As, but I guess I'm missing the boat and feeling feisty here. But let's talk about back to decisions. So we have to decide where to fish, right? And if we do that with no clue, we're in trouble. We have to decide what to fish, how to fish it. So we have two more decisions, right? And inside of each of these elements, we have sub-decisions, right? Where do we fish, right? How fast should we be fishing through that area? Now with the bait, how fast should we be using the baits, right? Inside the bait subsection is what color of bait should we be using, right? And it goes on and it goes on to all these branching decisions that are now just all guesses and gut feelings. And that's it, where some of this stuff for me in that same quote-unquote decision tree, I go, where should I be fishing? Well, that's dictated by seasonality, weather, structure, right? Not in any order, but that's kind of the components of that. The lure selection is the same. And then when we come to color, like I said on the color theory, is give me black or white because there's so many other things that are so far, so more important or so have so much weight in this scenario. And in my brain, I'm flipping around here to go, at the end of the day, the focus in musky fishing is often on the one thing, and clutch your pearls here. The focus in musky fishing is primarily on things that matter the least, right? So lure color probably matters far, 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 far less than understanding seasonality. Where, when, how, right? Because proximity can overtake that. So that's what I'm trying to get at, is what can you do on the water, right? Or before you get on the water, what can you do to eliminate arbitrary decisions?
That we should have had one podcast ever, Jane. We cover this, and that just is the overarching ethos.
Mm-hmm.
But think about, Jay, what other stuff? I'm sure your brain's going, there's so many arbitrary decisions that get made on this, that, and the other, and you just go.
Well, that's the thing. You can't catch what's not there. It's the most obvious thing in the world. So if you go out just kind of hoping, it's a good-looking day. A good-looking day? Well, to this guy, it's sunny and light winds. It's just beautiful to be outside. The next guy, it's like light drizzle, and it's like, oh, they're going to be snapping because they're going to be shallow. They're going to be high in the water column.
Yeah.
And the next day, he's like, oh, we got a strong wind. The wind's been pushing, and there's a front coming. Yeah, there's a ton of variables just on weather alone. Light penetration, time of day.
Yeah.
Color choice, like you said, kind of low on the list when it's because you can't catch what's not there.
You can't catch what's not there.
Yeah.
And
you put yourself in the best position every time you go out. It's just like.
And most of the time, people are fishing where the muskies are not at that moment, too.
Right.
Because
I fished a little bit over the weekend, and guess what? There wasn't a cloud. Well, I guess there was a few clouds in the sky at one point, but that's what it was. That's the hand I was dealt.
But that also, success or no success, you're closer than you are if you're going out there just rolling the dice, right? Because that's
you're closer,
You're closer. Yeah. That's the whole game.
By using strategy and logic, you got it just upping the odds. That's just what it's all about.
Well,
it's a low density fish to begin with. So,
and I'll say this, man. One thing that I'd encourage people, Dr. Bob and I were texting while I was on the plane. I couldn't sleep, of course, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we're texting back and forth about some concept, right? That's kind of the
big sounds thing. Dangerous.
It is. Mm-hmm. But something I would say. And this is not about anyone. This is just about human beings in general. Bob made it or texted me. He said, a lot of times, and he's a teacher, folks, so preface it with that statement. At times, he said, people are just saying back words to you, but they don't understand the meaning. And that hit me like a ton of bricks, right? That people are just saying this, whatever it is. I was fishing structure. Or you could pick any terminology you want, repeat it, regurgitate it, but not understand it. And I think that, like on that front, because we were talking fishing concepts, but he hit me with that concept, which was sometimes people just regurgitating words. And to be honest with you, that was about the term pattern, right? Most people can't define a pattern and something that, and I'll call it out for what it is. There was a book. 25 musky patterns. They're not patterns. Those aren't even patterns, half of them. Let's use this bait here. It's not defining what's happening, where, when, what, and how. It's like, we did this, and it worked. So it's one of these things of making sure that you have an understanding of what things are. I know that sounds goofy, but to really, You don't, there's no like merit badge, and I don't get a freaking pin, a ribbon pinned on my shirt because I understand what structure is. That was just hard earned learning. But make sure with all of this stuff is spend your time as much as you spend time perusing lures on the Musky Shop website, spend time studying to understand this stuff. Right. And I know it sounds preachy, but I promise you that's the biggest game changer there is, right? Is understanding what a pattern really means. What even just the word pattern, understanding what structure actually is, understanding reading about the life cycle of a muskie throughout the entire year. I've learned more from reading hard to read things than fun anecdotal stories. Right, you can find that in musky fishing, dime a dozen. Here's old freaking crazy man's book of funny fishing stories. Who gives a shit, right? That's but like I said, it's the nerd stuff that I think gets you further than anything at this point. And I'm just kind of like, like you said, Jay, you can't catch what's not there, and you can buy all the baits in the world and have all the baits in the world, but if it's not there, what have we done? So Anyway,
yeah,
it is what it is. But just try to make sure you spend the time. And I don't know how to convey that in a clear way. Is if there is a concept that you are unclear on, seek clarity. Don't just say, "I'm doing this," because I kick myself sometimes. Like, okay, I think I know this stuff. I think I understand a concept or a subject matter, whether it be fishing or not. And it's that enough introspection or enough self-check or enough self-discipline to make sure you actually have a real understanding of the subject matter. And that's the nerd end of fishing, but it's a hell of a lot more fun when you just go again. You've eliminated so much arbitrary crap out of your decision-making process. Just a tremendous amount of, instead of guessing where to fish, what to fish, why to fish, we've eliminated that. And I'll shut up after this saying this. You know how everybody loves like the moon face on the app, right, Jay?
Doing what on the app?
On moon face, right? Yep, everybody loves moon face,
mm-hmm.
Right? And before it's like we're getting on paper now that you got it on the app, you got whatever. That provides timing structure, right? Everybody can understand, I need to do this at this time of day. Anybody can get that, right? You got to be at work at 6, right? You got to be at work at 7, whatever it is. That structures a 24-hour period. Seasonality and understanding of that structures a bigger allotment of time than that, and it's far more important, right? Truly understanding seasonality dictates 365 days. Today's moon phase might theoretically dictate what's happening. But everyone, you don't hear people marching around and going, what's this, what's that, what's this, what's that? You hear moon phase, bucktails, and weed beds, you know? And so when it works, it works. It doesn't, it doesn't. That's what I'm saying. I'm sure there's like one guy out there and he's carding on his handgun. I get what you're saying, which is that bigger picture, that better understanding there is a compounding thing, you know? And it's knowledge compounds. So the more you understand about seasonality, the more you understand about blah, 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 blah. Anyway, Jay.
Yeah.
Goodness gracious. You didn't know they made soapbox in Spain, did you?
No, I knew that. I knew that. I was prepared for it.
I got a soapbox to stand on.
Dribbling your soccer ball.
Dribbling the proverbial soccer ball of the stupid musky stuff that's in my head as if it mattered, Jay. You know? Turn handle, fish on in. It's not like we're freaking solving, you know, doing brain surgery here, but you know.
No, I mean, take some of that info and just try to get one advantage every time you go out. Yeah.
It's compounding
stuff.
Yeah. That's the thing. It's like, well, one more soapbox, just like, because I just said, yeah, like, knowledge is compounding. Yeah. Training is compounding. Right? Everything you do is compounding. So if you're better at this one thing, you will subsequently get better, whether you do one push-up a day and then turns to whatever. Everything compounds. It's just like interest, right?
It's just like bad habits too, though.
Right, bad habits compound, which is cover your ears, Jay. Cover earmuffs. Your earmuffs, which is buying baits to fix the problem.
Right, there you go.
The bad habit is trying to buy your way out of something, opposed to... which is the same decision. That's a great spot. That's a great spot. Let's fish there. That's a good looking bait with no concept of where, when, and how to use it or why. Mm-hmm. Or Johnny Jimbo's guide service on Facebook said it was the hot bait. Okay, cool. Great.
It's a good looking bait. Sure. Hear it a million times. And it is. It's a great looking bait.
Right. But... you know, I needed to brush my teeth, but instead I picked up a hammer. You know, need a toothbrush, I bought a hammer. It's just that concept to kind of understand that, which is, again, at a certain point, if it locks in your brain or it clicks in, it's actually a little bit relieving, Jay, to be honest with you. You get out of that cycle of must have, gotta have, need this, right? Half the time you're sitting around going, well, if I had the right weather, you might shift your wants and needs. Anyway, I could prattle on forever. I miss being on the Muskie, but it's been like a whopping 40, 50, 60 hours since I haven't held one of these slimy things, and it's obviously been too long. But Jaybird, I got to go get tapas. Say okay. Good afternoon. What time is morning. It there?
Good well, morning. Morning. Yeah. Wow, 9:45. What is it, like sun setting there?
It is. Oh, I'm sundowners right now, but it's only 4:46. But anyway, guys. Okay.
Go back out to the harbor and hang out with Brad Pitt.
Y'all.
You guys have fun.
Thank you,
tell the boys to say hi. Yep. Jay, have fun at the show.
All right. Later, buddy. Say good afternoon. Yep. Bye.